Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. Appreciate you getting up and listening in. And so you might remember that a while back we did an interview with Andy Heath and Chuck Lippincott down on the Berger, Westfald, and Heath Farms in Woodstock, Ohio. And I was having so much fun, I wanted to have the guys back because there's so much to this that we didn't get to cover. And one of them is all of the technology. Another is there's like different planting seasons, and I guess it's more fun to harvest one crop over another, and we'll learn about that too. And another is, let's see, we're talking about the technology. Just some of the day-to-day stuff. Like I want to learn a little bit about these silos that are out here, and you've got different ones, and they're different heights, and they're all connected, so we'll talk about that too. But, okay, well, let's start with technology, because somebody told me that when you guys are out in the field, and I don't know if it's planting as well as harvesting, but that these the combines and the tractors, that they're all like GPS guided. You don't even have to steer. Is that true?
That is true. The combines and the tractors, the planters, they've got GPS in them, so they're set up. Whatever implement you're pulling, when you get to the end of the field, you turn and it. You can resume, and it'll set its width and go right back the next row. Or you can go down the field a ways if you want to, and it will drive itself.
Wow, that's really cool. So inside the cabin, are you in there going, whee, with your hands up like a roller coaster?
No, not quite. You're pulling an implement behind you that you want to watch and make sure it's running properly. And then also the tractor doesn't know if there's a tree in front of you, so you do have to watch.
Stupid tractor.
Yeah, you have to watch if there's anything in the field, tiles that you need to go around or something like that, that you have to drive yourself.
Okay, so you could be out there, you could be reading a book or not reading a book?
You could read a book. I mean, if you're in a big open field, but it wouldn't be advised.
Could I do dental care on you?
No.
Was that a no that you just don't want dental care, or was that a no it wouldn't fit in there?
It just wouldn't fit in that program.
Okay, so things like, okay, it doesn't know there's a tree. It does know there's a road, though, right?
It knows when you get to the end of the field where you raised up last time, it will beep at you to let you know you're coming to the end of the field.
So oh, okay. So,
but you have to go ahead and with our equipment, the way we're set up, you have to make the turn on the end of the field yourself.
You actually have to turn the steering wheel. Oh, that is so sad.
Technology is out there that it will do the whole system itself. So you can set it up to, it will turn on the ends by itself, but everything like that, it's dollar operated. So it's how much money you want to invest in your operation.
Right. And that the amount you spend has no bearing on how much you're going to get for your crop. That's all the market at the time. And that probably leads us into the silos out here. And I know there's a store in the Columbus area, a couple of them, maybe there's just one, called the Andersons. And my understanding is they started off farming, and then they invested in silos, and they bought a bunch of silos, and they were able to buy the crops, the harvest from the surrounding farmers at a low price because everybody was trying to sell at the same time. And then they just stored it until the price went up. They started selling it in their own general store, and that's how this huge operation got started. So when I see a farm like yours with all these silos, that tells me that you don't want to be a victim of that. You want to be in control of when you sell and how much you get for it, correct?
Yeah, typically your crop prices are at their lowest at harvest time. So you try to minimize the amount of crop that you deliver and sell in those time periods. As you said earlier, everyone is anybody that doesn't have bins, silos, they're delivering then, and the elevators are not paying the top price then.
Okay. And so how do you know when, today when we got here, you were loading, in fact, I think right now you're still loading semi tractor trailers full of, I assume, corn. And you've determined, I guess, do you watch the Farm Futures report, or how do you know when it's time to sell?
We've got two parts of our pricing. One is the future side, which is based out of Chicago Board of Trade. And then we have what we call basis. And the basis is the difference between the Chicago price and what the buyer is willing to pay. That number can be a negative number or a positive number. So, for instance, corn is, let's say, for round numbers, $5 on the Chicago Board of Trade. You may have one elevator that's paying you $5.15. That would be a plus 15 basis. You may have another elevator that's $4.75. That'd be a minus 25 cent basis. So we watch both the futures and the basis levels at different elevators.
And so when you decide you're going to sell to a particular elevator, how much time do you have to get the crop to them before the price changes?
Typically, that's negotiated when you do the contract with them. A lot of times, those are time sensitive. If they need corn this week, they'll pay this week, and that's it. If you don't deliver the goods this week, you're back to the old price. So and other times they'll give you a whole month. So that varies, but typically anywhere from within the week or within a month.
Okay, and the only way you can control that is to store it as long as you can or until those prices fluctuates in your favor.
Yeah, the storing on the farm is typically to wait for those better basis levels. Typically, we don't do any speculation on the futures prices. Typically, if the future prices are where we're at a profitable level, we'll go ahead and set our futures, and then you can set the futures at one time and then set the basis and decide where you're going to deliver at a later date.
Okay. Now, I was thinking about, and this may not be appropriate because you're selling corn that is basically grain and can be for cattle feed and whatnot, but you hear a lot about high fructose corn syrup. Does any of that come from the corn that you guys grow?
Yes, it sure does.
Really? So it's not sweet when I stole that piece, but somehow you make sugar out of it still?
Yeah, there's a large processing plant in Dayton, Ohio, owned by Cargill, and I would say that they probably supply most of the eastern United States with high fructose corn syrup.
Okay. And, of course, as a dentist, we know that too much of any sugar can cause cavities and wreak havoc, right, with mouth. So there's this push to go away from it. But that's mostly for dietary reasons, right, not necessarily people that it's not rotting people's teeth.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk on the high fructose corn syrup, but
by the way, do they have low fructose corn syrup too, or just the high?
Just the high.
No medium, or
it's been a little bit of a controversy, but I guess from my standpoint, a sugar is a sugar, and too much of it is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in soda pop, by the way, it's not necessarily the sugar; it's the acid. So you can have sugar-free soda of any kind, and you still do damage to teeth. It's acid. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so people think if they're drinking the sugar-free stuff, you know, or the caffeine-free stuff, or both, that it's not going to affect them. But any soda pop, doesn't matter whether it's caramel-colored or not, could be, you know, grape, orange, whatever color it is, or clear, has the same amount of acid, and it will eat at your teeth, literally, because you've heard of Mountain Dew mouth. Anybody heard of that?
Oh, yeah, and I always thought that was from the sugar.
No, it's from the acid, yeah. See, so you learned something. I'm learning today, too. Okay, so you know what? Looks like, I'm trying to decide. Should we go to a break? You know what? Let's think of a Dr. Kvitko's question of the day for today. I know what it's going to be. We talked about the fact that if you steal a piece of this corn, and you're not supposed to along the roadside, and it tastes so terrible, it's not sweet corn. So the question is, true or false, field corn can be made into high fructose corn syrup. Is that true or is that false? So don't call now, but that's just something that you can remember for later when we do Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. In fact, I think we'll do it in just a minute, but before we do, we want you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
The question of the day is, before I give you that, let me remind you, the winner will receive free flowers from Weistember Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. I thought maybe we should be able to give away a free or a corn or something, but they don't sell sweet corn or they don't grow sweet corn, so we're stuck with flowers. But anyway, free flowers from Weistember. And we are talking with Chuck Lippincott and Andy Heath, and we're at Berger, Westfald, and Heath Farms in Woodstock, Ohio. And so the question is, when you grow field corn, it can be made into high fructose corn syrup. Would that be true or would that be false? All right, the number to call, 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kavitko. The other day, I saw a dental office TV commercial that said they make their dentures in days, not weeks. Well, guess what? We now offer the Lorel One-Step Denture, which means we can make your denture in about an hour. You heard me right. Dentures in about an hour. And on top of that, they cost only half as much as traditional dentures. If you have a few teeth that need removed first, we can do that at the same time and still make your dentures in about an hour. Interested? Call us at 262-9588. That's 262-9588.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su sesión favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at 262-9588.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? You should. Dr. Kavitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
I'm going to love you with my hands that show me your teeth. Show me your teeth. Open your mouth, boy. Show me your teeth. Show me what you got. Show me your teeth.
Got no salvation.
All right, welcome back. We're doing Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. Let me restate the question. We have people on the line. We have four callers right now. And let me just restate the question for those of you just joining us. We are talking with Chuck Lippincott and Andy Heath, and they work a farm that grows corn and soybeans and wheat. And if you've ever tasted field corn, there's no sugar in it whatsoever that I can tell. It tastes absolutely terrible. And so the question is, true or false, field corn can be used to make high fructose corn syrup. All right? And so, hey, let's see. Chuck and Andy, who wants to pick a number between 1 and 4 so we know which caller we're going to go to?
Let's go to you this time.
Okay, we're going to go to caller number 2.
All right, so let's ask my producer, who is the winner of the flowers from Weistember Florist? Who's the winner of Dr. Kavitko's question of the day? And by the way, the answer was true. You can make high fructose corn syrup from this awful tasting field corn. Who knew?
Dr. Kavitko, your question of the day was correctly answered by Mary Brewster from Pickerington. Mary Brewster from Pickerington wins the free flowers from Weistember.
All right, so congratulations to our winner. And while my producer is getting the information on where we should send those flowers, I want to talk more with Chuck and Andy about these silos, because there's different heights, there's different widths, and they're all connected by these little tubes. Now, I do understand that the little tubes are like chutes, and somehow, I don't know if it's through air or suction or what, you have to get the grain from the elevator into what amounts to a hopper that will then drop the grain directly into your semi-tractor trailer. But does the height and width of the silo mean anything other than it costs more to buy a big, tall one?
Yeah, there's definitely with the capacity, your increase, the cost goes up. But, the height and the diameter determines the bushels. We've got anywhere from the smallest bins, a 12,000 bushel bin, to our largest bin, which is 108,000 bushels. One semi holds about 1,000 bushels, so you take that number and divide it by 1,000, that gets you your truckloads per bin.
Okay, so 12 truckloads for the one bin.
Yeah, 12 truckloads for the one bin, and then the large bin is 108,000 bushels.
So 108 truckloads.
Yes. And typically, we grow anywhere from 350 to 550,000 bushels a year.
350 to 550,000?
Yes.
How many acres do you farm?
5,600.
Oh, okay. So 5,600, how many, and it's, you said how many bushels per acre do you usually get? Was it, you said 218 your best year?
Yeah, 218 was our best year last year, and I believe our 10-year average is around 180. So, and then you take the half of the acres are corn and half of the acres are soybeans.
They're only like 50-some per acre.
Yeah, yeah, the beans are much less volume. The corn is, almost four times the volume.
So the height then, I mean, it doesn't have to be so tall so that there's a certain amount of air in there. You just, if you can afford a big tall one, you buy a big tall one.
Yeah, yeah, you fill the bin up to the top, and the drop tubes you were talking about, that's just gravity. The leg that we call it the elevator leg in the center carries the grain to the top and then drops it down the tubes into the bins. But the grain's actually handled twice. When we bring it in out of the field, it's wet, usually 17 to 25% moisture, and we dry it down to 15% to store it. So we have to dry the corn down before we put it in the bins for long-term storage.
And how do you measure that? Is it a hydrometer? What do you use to measure the moisture content in the corn?
We've got a tester out at the harvest shack out there, and we periodically take moisture samples out of the bottom of the dryer and make sure that it's set correctly.
Take a little cup full of it and put it in there and then wait, and then the whatever moisture is in kind of escape into a chamber and it gives you a reading?
Basically, it shoots some sort of beam through the grain and reads the moisture that way. So it's an expensive piece of equipment, but pretty crucial. You don't want to put corn in that's too wet, and you also don't want to over dry and lose that moisture weight.
Now, how does the grain get in these silos then? Was I wrong? These tubes that are on the top, that's how it gets in or how it gets out?
The tubes on top are the way it gets in. And then when we get hauled out, it comes out of an auger out of the bottom and goes back up the grain leg again and into a holding bin, which then loads the semis.
Almost like a conveyor belt?
Yeah. Yeah, it's similar to conveyor belt. But it's an auger that goes around.
An auger is like a big corkscrew because your ears runs backwards. It's like digging a fence post.
Correct. Yeah.
But in reverse.
Yeah. Same principle as digging a hole to set a post in your yard, except you're pushing the grain forward instead of lifting the dirt out with the corkscrew is horizontal, pushing the grain.
So it's actually laying, and it goes uphill, and it spins, and it moves the grain. It's like the thing on the back of a Zamboni, the ice resurfacing machine. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It has the discs, and what it does is the ice that's been shaved off, it pushes it to the outside. It goes from the middle outward. No, it goes from the outward and inward, and then it goes into a vertical auger that brings it up into that big bin.
Yes, I've seen those at the hockey games before.
I used to own one.
Wow.
Yeah, we used to own an ice rink, and I actually drove the Zamboni, and so I owned a Zamboni. And you know that bumper sticker that people have that says my other car is a Zamboni? My other car really was a Zamboni. And after we sold the rink, I kept the Zamboni because the new owners didn't want the used one. They were going to buy a new one. I said, well, then I'll just keep it. So my garage door needed repaired, and so we called this company out to come and fix the garage door, and he calls me up and he goes, did you know there was a Zamboni in your garage? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I can't fix the garage door because the Zamboni's in the way. And I said, I thought you could just like climb on top of it. You know, he wouldn't even need a ladder, but he wasn't impressed. He had me move the Zamboni. So I actually sold the Zamboni on eBay to a company, a rink in Colorado, Littleton, Colorado, and they sent one of those car carriers to come out. So I have some pictures of me driving it in the driveway, but it's it's fun. But now I understand the technology. Okay, so the grain goes up an auger, and then it goes into, what do you call the hopper? I call it the hopper. What did you call it?
Yeah, it's an overhead bin that basically the semi can pull under, and you open a gate, and gravity fill the truck.
Okay, now I'm looking at what looks like a placemat. I guess you guys use these as placemats. But what it is it's a big picture from Google Earth, and it shows all of your silos, right? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and that's the hopper? No, that's
That's where the truck pulls
under. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where the truck pulls under there.
So if somebody wanted to see what we're talking about, how would they get this map off of Google Earth? What do they have to type in? Anybody know? Say if they want to placemat themselves?
Basically, you can go to Google Earth, and you could probably search Woodstock, Ohio, and we're south of Woodstock, and there's also a large farm north of Woodstock with a grain facility, too. So if you search Woodstock, Ohio, you're going to see quite a few silos or bins, however you want to call it, around.
Okay. It's pretty cool. So now we talked about the technology where the planter will drive itself, the combine drives itself, and you were talking about moisture content. And, okay, think about this. This has bugged me for a while. Now I get to ask real farmers what the answer is. You know how when you go to Home Depot and you go to Lowe's and you go to Tractor Supply and you can buy bags after bag of grass seed, right? Right, Chuck?
That is correct.
Yeah, you can get like red fescue and tall fescue, and you can get Kentucky Blue, and you can get all this stuff, right?
Yes, all different varieties.
Yeah, and yet I've never once in my entire life seen a grass seed farm. Have you?
No, I have not. I don't know where the grass seed farms actually are in this area.
I know where the sod farms are. You can see them. There's actually one on I-70 between Columbus and Dayton. But grass seed, where's that come from?
I'm not sure in this area.
And I always wonder, you know how when the grass overgrows when you're a kid, we all do that. You play with it, like you zip off the seeds, right? You just put your fingers and squeeze tight and zip them up?
Yeah, it'd be almost like a combine.
Right. So do they have migrant grass seed pickers?
I think up north is a lot of your grass seeds and small grains like that. As some of those are up in Wisconsin and up in that area, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so they grow it in Wisconsin?
Yes, I think so.
Do they harvest it with a big combine or a little combine?
Ooh, that I'm not sure. I think it's a big combine.
Okay, I wondered if it looked like, I don't know. I've just never seen it. Never seen it. So why are they keeping it so secretive?
I think that's another show.
You're right. I need to find a grass seed farmer, don't I?
Yes.
Can I go on Google Earth and do that?
I don't know if Google Earth would show you, but I think we've got some connections that we know where they're talk to Andy here, and I think we can get you set up with somebody that knows that.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That would be good. I'll even drive there if I have to in my rolling studio.
Yeah, we'd go with you.
Okay, we can arrange that. All right, well, hang tight because we have to go to a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Vous écoutez à la radio du dentiste avec Dr. Kvitko ici sur votre radio préférée.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us,
262-9588.
Sie hören zu einer Rede über zahnärztliche Sachen mit Dr. Kvitko hier an Ihrer beliebtesten Station.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kavitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
All right, welcome back. We are doing one of my Down on the Farm episodes. Remember, we have Teeth Across America, and now we have Across the Farm, I guess, or On the Farm, or Down on the Farm. This is really interesting, and I hope you've been enjoying it. One of the things I'm curious about is whenever I travel and I'm out in, you know, these little country roads, and boy, I've wound up on some really small country roads before. You just lose the
cell phone and GPS signal.
Do you guys have that problem? I mean, and so I'm thinking about your machine that drives itself, and it has GPS. Have you ever lost the GPS and it just like drives across the neighbor's yard?
There's been times we've lost signal in the tractors and whatnot, but typically out in the open field, your GPS is in good shape. The only time that we do have trouble from time to time is if you get in behind a woods or a big line of trees or something, but typically out in the fields that we grow crops, we get really good GPS signal. Now, cell service out here, that's another story.
Okay, they're different, huh?
Yeah, we struggle. There's definitely spots out here that we struggle with cell service.
Now, am I right? You have a little pinch between your cheek and gum right now?
No.
Okay, do you do that?
No, I do not.
Good for you. I don't think Chuck does, right?
No, I do not.
Why? A lot of farmers do that, though. Any idea why? Do you have buddies that do it?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that gets started, but there's... I would say it's getting less than it used to be, but you don't see a whole lot of guys that smoke anymore, but there's still quite a bit of smokeless tobacco that goes on.
Right, and that you guys know that it causes oral cancer, right? That's one reason why you don't do it?
Absolutely.
You have kids?
Yes.
And once you have a child, you realize you want to be around for them, right? That's when most people like say, whoa, I got to stop smoking. I got to stop driving fast, stuff like that.
Back in the old days, they chewed a lot of tobacco because it was open cabs on the tractors and they were breathing dust. And so that lets you keep moisture in your mouth. And, of course, then you chewed tobacco and you spat the tobacco juice out. So that gave you moisture and stuff like that back in the old days when you were eating a lot of dust going across the field without the cab on the equipment.
Okay, that's good to know, and that's also because they didn't know that it was dangerous. So at that time, it was just the thing to do.
Thing to do back then, yes.
Interesting. All right, so I think we're probably out of time, best I can tell, if my watch is running. So, and we definitely we're going to do like the planning if we can get in the field. We still can't plant, and then the harvest. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Who knows? Maybe we'll sneak a NASCAR race in the middle there somewhere. And when you guys have, that'd be good.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, we'll try to do that. All right. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with, let me just restate. It's the Berger, Westfald, and Heath Farms in Woodstock, Ohio. Chuck Lippincott and Andy Heath. Is there anything you want me to know about the farm? What do you think? I mean, like, if you were telling somebody what you do for a living and where you work, what would you say to them? Because normally I would have people that, like, read bios, you know, because I've got, like, a researcher or somebody, but we didn't really read your bio. So tell me about your farm. What would you want people to know?
I guess the most important thing I'd like people to know is that farming is very technologically advanced, and that we try to be the best stewards of the land and of the environment, and we tie that in with technology, and we just really, really try hard to produce a safe food supply for the public and take care of the ground, because it's how we make our living.
Yeah, no, very well said, and I know that, and the people that I know, and it's I don't take it for granted, but I think a lot of people do, and maybe some people listening to the show will think twice about maybe throwing away food they could eat, or, you know, and maybe thank the farmers for the fact that there's even food there when you get to the grocery store. All right, thank you guys, and we'll get together with another date for another show when we can actually get out in the field, and I'll have to bring my boots that day, right?
It's according, if we can get in the field, you won't need your boots.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.